I want to read a little bit from Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. That's probably a psalm that many of you are familiar with, and it has to do with the law of the Lord, of course, and I wanted to share with you some things concerning the law. I don't know if you've ever heard a phrase like, you can't outrun the law, or you can't beat the law, or you can't overcome the law, you just can't win against the law. And of course, many times when people say those things, they're thinking of human law. You can't outrun the human law. So when it comes to God's law, I hope you can understand that this is absolutely sure. You cannot beat the law. And as this psalm refers to it, it describes the law in some very awesome ways, that it's perfect. The law is flawless. It has no glitches. It has no gaps. And when sometimes you and I operate a computer and you do things that you've normally done from time to time, and then suddenly you get a glitch, what you've normally done doesn't work because something's not quite perfect about the programming, you get a glitch, you know that the computer is not perfect. But God's law is perfect. It never fails. And I want to say to us that so oftentimes we fail to grasp the law in all of its pervasiveness, for lack of a better way to say it. And when you read this psalm, you realize that the law of the Lord, it's penetrating. It's going to the heart of the matter. It's talking, it's not just some outward thing. You know, the law, you throw a rock and it falls with gravity. You know, the physical laws. But that physical law represents the God law that He created everything with. And if you read this psalm, you get some clues here that it's converting the soul, which means it penetrates your heart, your will, and your emotions. It's in your thoughts and imaginations. It can rebuke you. The word, the law, goes wherever you are. There's not a place in your being that the law doesn't connect and touch. Now, I say that to say that the Psalms is filled with describing the law as being everywhere. The law is all-powerful. The law is all-knowing. It's perfect. The law is divine. God gave us the law. It's a reflection of Himself. It's how things are working. It's how things are programmed. And I'm saying to us that we've got to grasp something here about this law that we often read about, like maybe the Ten Commandments, we think the law, or we think of the Mosaic law. But the law is more than that. Even for those who never got the Old Testament law, the Scripture says everyone is a law unto themselves when they struggle with right and wrong, when their conscience is pricked or not pricked, when it's seared or not seared, when it's dealing with life on a constant basis. Now, when I say to you, you can't beat the law, I'm saying that there is nowhere you and I can go in this body, universe, under the water, in a closet, where the law doesn't go. It's like gravity. There's nowhere you can go in the universe where gravity doesn't affect you. I realize you can go into space and it's not as much, but it's still there. Gravity is always working, and so the law is always working. I describe it like this to say, so oftentimes we have, maybe not you, but maybe me, fail to grasp how much we deal with the law and don't know it. 24/7, you and I are dealing with the law. How are we dealing with the law? Well, the Scripture says that oftentimes we're a law unto ourselves and that we are trying to excuse ourselves, trying to justify ourselves, trying to make you know, ourselves feel worthy, a sense of well-being. How many of you have ever wrestled with your self-worth? How many of you have ever wrestled with feeling unworthy and a sense of feeling guilty or condemned or struggling or wrestling or fighting with yourself and with others? Okay. You know, I think in charismatic circles and full gospel circles and faith preaching circles, we often attribute to Satan many of the things that the law is actually happening to us in our heart. For example, if we're having a bad day and we feel like things aren't working out and circumstances seem to be against us and we're hitting our head against the wall and people are giving us a hard time, I think oftentimes we think that's the devil just giving me a hard time today. Or maybe if we're sick, or maybe if we're having symptoms of something or another, and a lot of Christian community, they'll say, well, you know, the devil's bringing that on me. I feel like the demons are giving me a hard time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. And sometimes when, you know, the weather's bad or the stock market falls or somebody got fired at a job and we're thinking, the enemy's trying to give me a hard time. How many of you have ever heard of that scripture in Galatians 6:7 where it talks about this thing called sowing and reaping? How many of you? Huh? Okay. You know what? I'm looking it up. I'll just get my little booklet out. It's easier. Galatians 6:7. Where'd you go? Here we go. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Right? Verse 8 says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And then there's another verse that I have presented in times past. It's 1 Corinthians 15:56. It says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Now, I mentioned the demonic, and I mentioned Satan, and we hear it a lot from preachers, and we hear it a lot from each other, how, you know, the devil this, the devil that. I want you to know something. Those two verses tell you that everything is about the law. Everything is about sowing and reaping. The enemy, Satan, has nothing they can do about that. If you sow something, you reap it. Now, it gets complicated. I think of a pool of water like a lake, and if we were all standing around the lake and we threw a rock into it, what would happen? Splash, ripples. Splash, ripples, right? Sowing, reaping. Sowing, reaping. Now, if we're all doing it at the same time, your ripples are probably going to hit my ripples that are going to probably hit their ripples. And so it gets a little complicated and a little confusing. You with me still? Some of you look like you lost. All right. What I want to say to you is that the only power that the enemy has is to get you to throw the rock in the water. Get you to sow badly so that you'll reap badly. The enemy has no way, a capability of causing sowing and reaping to happen, and they can't stop it either. This is a law of God. Every law that's programmed in the earth is happening. They can't get in here and change the programming. They're not God. They don't have that power. And the power of sin is so often like, the devil made me do it. I don't know if you've ever heard that. Most people have. But that's not what the scripture says. It says that sin, the power of sin, is the law. And it's not that the law is evil, but that we are evil people in our sin nature working in this realm under the dominion of the law. Anyone born of a woman is born under the law. The law is pervasive. It's 24/7 happening all the time. And the enemy just rides the back of our sowing poorly so that we reap poorly. And that's been going on lots and lots and lots, compounded again. I guess I want to say to you, whoever can control the person, the people, controls the earth. But if the people decide to do what they do, it's their decision. Even in the, even in the garden with Adam and Eve, when the serpent came to tempt Adam and Eve, all he could do was try to talk them into it or deceive them. He couldn't take them and grab them and say, "You eat this thing. You do what I want," and stick that apple in their mouth. Like maybe one of you might take somebody and shove an apple in their mouth, you know, because you've got a physical body and you can do something about it. But they don't have that. And the reason they want to possess people is because that's the only way they can express themselves in this realm. I don't know if you've ever figured that out. They can't express themselves outside of some body. We have the dominion. You've got to have a body to have dominion, and that's why Jesus came in physical body to be one of us, to do what we were supposed to do and then save us. He had to do it in a body. I'm not sure that's making sense, but I hope so. Anyway, I bring up these couple of verses to say that the sowing and reaping process and the strength of the of sin is the law, and there really isn't anything else. And so I say all of this to say, look, you and I, in our sin nature, in our natural man, are wrestling with the law every day, every minute, everywhere. If you feel condemned, condemnation comes from the law. Everyone, according to Scripture, is found guilty under the law. No one is righteous. No one can justify themselves. The law condemns everyone. And the Scripture says, if you do not believe in Christ Jesus, if you refuse to believe in Jesus, you stand condemned already. Where does that condemnation come from? When you and I feel condemned, when you and I feel guilty, it's the law doing it. How many of you wrestle with that stuff? Condemnation and guilt. I'm telling you, it's the law. It's the law that has you in every which way you can be had. No one can stand up and say, "I'm free, I have peace." The law was given to condemn, to bring sin, to an exposure, to show forth the problem. It wasn't given to set us free. It was given to expose. When I say you can't beat the law, what I'm trying to say is 24/7, you and I are wrestling, as Christians even. The Scripture says, if you sow to the flesh, you reap from the flesh corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap life. So we have this issue every day that we're dealing with. Am I sowing to the Spirit? Am I sowing to the flesh? However, in our daily life, if we're lacking peace, if we're feeling condemned, if we're feeling frustrated, if we're feeling unworthy, if we feel like we've got to earn it, it's the law. It's not the demonic, it's the law. Can't beat the law because the law penetrates. Let me give you some ways in which it penetrates. It's penetrating your mind because it makes wise the simple. It's penetrating your soul where your emotions are. Ever felt depressed? Ever felt discouraged? Ever felt despair? It's the law. It's convicting us. It's reproving us. It's rebuking us. It's the law. It's not the demonic. They're sitting there adding to it. They're saying, yeah, you're bad. You're bad. Yeah, see? The Word of God says this. You can't keep it. You're bad. You're not worthy. God's not going to listen to you. I mean, any of that sound familiar? They might be jumping on it and making it worse, but really what's happening is when you wake up in the morning, you wake up to face the law. If you can understand that, then you're not going to understand something else. That now that we are under grace, and let me read the first couple of verses of those. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Galatians 2:19, "For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God." Romans 10:4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Romans 8:4, "That the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." And how many of you remember this passage? Paul in Romans 7, describing this problem. I want to do, but I can't do. I know what I should do, but I don't do. And he concludes by saying in 7:24, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" What is this body of death? I'm telling you, the body of death is your everyday wrestling with the law. Your conscience bothers you. Your conscience convicts you. Your soul is disturbed. You fear. You're anxious. You're not right. You're constantly examining yourself. You're constantly falling short. Any of that sound familiar? It's oppressive. It's oppressive. It's oppressive, always. You and I will never be free of that. Of course, I haven't finished. We will never be free of that. Who's going to deliver us from this body of death, this situation that we cannot get out from underneath? Who's going to take us away from the gravity that's always around us, always making us feel unworthy? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, there is therefore now no condemnation, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm not sure I can communicate this well enough. We are no longer to be condemned. And if we're feeling condemnation, it's the law, and we're under it again. We're supposed to be walking in grace. We're supposed to be walking through what is the gift of righteousness. But if we're feeling beaten down, if we're feeling heavy, if we're feeling restless, we're lacking peace, it's the law giving us a hard time. As lawbreakers, you're a lawbreaker. You're a lawbreaker. You're not doing right. You're not doing well. You're a lawbreaker. Constant. Constant. You can't get away from it. But in Christ Jesus, I used this before. Here we are in our sin nature. Here we are under the law. Here we are empowered by the law and the sowing and reaping process, which the enemy has nothing to do with. It's just the law. And when Jesus goes to the cross, and he suffers and dies for us, he fulfilled the law. He shut the law up. He shut it up. He took it all on himself and paid it all. Now, when we come to Christ and we get born again, we can receive that freedom 24/7. Whenever I feel condemned, whenever I feel unworthy, whenever I feel like I'm not measuring up, it's the law. You got me? Yeah. But guess what, law? I'm redeemed. I'm saved. I've been restored. I have his righteousness. Shut up. Get away. Leave me alone. I'm free. You have a right to tell the law, no. I will not accept that anymore. I will not live under that burden. I will not live under that guilt anymore, that condemnation, because if I do, I'm not accepting what Jesus did for me. Are you getting this? If I stay in my, quote, humility and say, yes, I'm a worm. Yes, I'm unworthy. Yes, Yes, I'm guilty. I've done wrong again. If I stay in my humility, you know, trying to be humble before God, I'm rejecting the blood of Christ for me that said, in him all of the law has been fulfilled. His blood covered it all, past, present, and future sin, all done. I have a right now to say, no more condemnation, no more guilt, no more oppression, no more depression, no more. Leave me alone. I have the blood of Christ in me. I have been made righteous. I have his peace, his patience, his love. I'm free. I'm free. And if I stay over here and say, well, you know, I'm just not doing enough. I'm just not working hard enough. I'm not doing all the things that I should be doing. The law, the law, the law. I've been set free from the law. I now have grace upon grace. I can stand in his love and I can stand in his acceptance. And when I am, I'm standing in the Spirit by faith. I'm free from the law of sin and death. I'm free from condemnation. I'm free from guilt. I'm free from every fear. I'm free. The law no longer has claim on me. And when I do that, guess what? I disarm the law and I disarm the demons trying to use the law to keep me down. You get that one? You know, we can often give hard time to each other. We can often point out our failures. We can be hypocritical. We can be judgmental. We can be, you know, with each other. And when we do, we're just taking up on the law and giving it to each other. You don't need to take it from anyone else either. You don't, if you've got someone that's always giving you a hard time at work, you have someone in the family that's always jumping down your case, that's the law. It might be perverted with the sin nature of that individual, but you are free from the law. I can't beat the law, but I don't have to beat the law. I can't get out from underneath the law's dominion, but I don't have to anymore because someone did it for me. I couldn't beat it. I never would. But in Christ Jesus, he beat it. And now I can step into that freedom that belongs to me. That freedom from oppression. That freedom from depression. That freedom from condemnation and guilt. You know, we've been learning a lot lately about God's love for us. And what he wants us to get more than anything else is there's no way, no way that I'm ever going to earn it. I'm ever going to be good enough, ever going to satisfy the law, but I can please God by believing him. I've got a few paragraphs I want to read for you to kind of summarize what I'm getting at. And I hope that it does a very clear job in your mind. If I understand that I am no longer under the law, but under grace, that as I walk after the Spirit, as I think spiritually, as I think the way God wants me to, no condemnation, no guilt, free from my sin, walking in the things of the Spirit. This means I must change what I allow and accept and experience in my daily life. I am no longer going to be under the dominion of sin and therefore under the constant condemnation of the law. Now, I know some of us are constantly burdened. I know some of us are constantly feeling less than. It's the law. Therefore, under the constant condemnation of the law, I am no longer going to be. The law no longer has claim against me because all of my sins, past, present, and future, are paid in full. By faith, I now accept my new life in him. By faith, I rebuke guilt, condemnation, shame, fear, anxiety, this sense of unworthiness, removing any power of the law to judge me. I don't even judge myself. Man, that's a huge one. Stop judging yourself. Forgive yourself. God's forgiven you. Who are you? If God's forgiven you in Christ, you don't need to be condemning yourself and allowing the law to judge you anymore and saying, yes, I am a wretched creature. I was, but now I'm saved. I'm not going to live in there, in that place anymore. My sin consciousness no longer applies because through the blood I am cleansed. I am delivered by the one who suffered and died for me. There is now no condemnation in me. I'm set free. This is true in your spirit, man. This is absolutely true right now. And by faith you accept this. I'm set free by faith. Therefore, I am not going to soak in guilt or cower in condemnation. I will not bask in unworthiness because Jesus has become my life. In him I have forgiveness of sins. I have new life, new standing, today, tomorrow, forever, forever. I can't lose this standing with him. I'm righteous with him. And the only reason I feel any unworthiness, it's the law. And I'm allowing the law to diminish me. I will not bask in unworthiness because Jesus has become my life. I am made righteous before my God and our God. I will not live in the pit, sorrow, shame, and despair. I will arise out of it, all of it, by faith in my Redeemer who has placed me in a heavenly place with his Son. God is no longer holding my sin against me. Man, can you get that? God is no longer holding my sin against me. God is not angry with me. God is not disappointed with me. You know, if you think God's disappointed with you, it's because you're back over here under the law again. You're back over here under the law again, judging yourself, excusing, trying to justify. Forget it! It's never going to work. Step back over here where you have no condemnation in life in Jesus Christ. You are set free. You are righteous. He's not disappointed when you do that. Not at all. It's those who believe who receive. It's those who believe who are set free. God is not disappointed with me because my life under the law is over. I died with Christ. Now I live to Jesus. I please the Lord when I believe him, when I accept my gift of righteousness, when I dismiss the claims against me of the law from a guilty conscience, when I forgive myself and accept my new life in Christ. I am free by faith through the grace of the Spirit abiding in me. When you believe that, when you accept that, you please the Lord. You cannot cleanse yourself, but you can accept cleansing. I live by faith in what Jesus has done, and God has made me in Christ. I'm born again of the same nature, the same Spirit, the same love, joy, peace, and righteousness of Christ. I am a new creation, under grace, no longer oppressed by the law or the devil. I'm a child of the Most High God, not by works of my own, but because I accept this gift and believe it. Because these things are true, I work because of what I believe. I work because of the gift of righteousness. I do the same works for the same reasons that Jesus did and the Father. I can't beat the law. I can't escape its judgment. But thanks be to God, I don't have to, because my Lord and Savior did. Any residue of sin consciousness, of guilt or shame, any sense of condemnation, of missing it, lacking it, not measuring up, not meeting standards, I gladly repent from and accept the free gift of right standing in Jesus now and for all time. I gladly turn not on my own heart, but against these things, not allowing them to have dominion over me anymore. I'm the one that's allowing it. I'm accepting it. I don't got to anymore. I'm a new creation. I rebuke the accusations. I rebuke the threats. I rebuke the unworthiness, the insecurities, and feelings of failure from dominating my conscience anymore. Do you know when you get to heaven, that's exactly what you have? You will never feel those things again. Never feel insecure. You'll never feel like a failure. You'll never feel those things again. They will be absolutely gone. And you can have that now by faith in God's grace. I will not accept less than what Jesus has done for me, nor allow the enemy to deceive me into living to these things anymore. I have Jesus' life in me. I have his wisdom, his righteousness, his sanctification, and his redemption in me. That is how the Father in heaven sees me, as one who is in his Son, saved. Therefore, I work the works of faith and obedience to see myself the way he sees me. Maybe that makes sense. Maybe that works for you. The law is perfect, but Jesus satisfied the law. It's been fulfilled. And in Christ, by faith, so it is with us. Don't let the devil use the law, and don't you let the law use you. It has no claim. You're above it. You're under grace. You're forgiven, a new creation. Let's pray. Father, I pray that these truths will penetrate, and I pray that we will be able to grasp that when we're in our doldrums and when we're in our rough times and when we're being hard on ourselves, we're not being righteous. We're being foolish, allowing the law to rule through the sin nature that's in us. May we recognize it and rebuke it. May we recognize it and not allow it. Walking in the grace, the freedom we have, we are free. We ought to be the most happy, carefree, guiltless. How can I put it? The most free from condemnation people there are. May we begin to experience that love that has set us free in greater and greater ways. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when people see us, we really ought not to be walking around. You know, Jesus loves me, but you know, I have heavy burden, guilt, you know. Yeah, I know what you mean, brother. We ought to be like, Jesus set me free again. I am free. I made that mistake. Okay. Thank God it's covered. Amen. It's all covered. Every hindrance is covered. Every guilt is covered. It's covered if you believe it. And the only reason it has any say in your life, because we don't believe it. It's like, oh no, I deserve this. Yeah, you deserved it. D-E-E-D. But now you don't. And if you love him in response to his love, you won't let it have dominion anymore. That's a tough one, but it can be done. Amen.